T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What they call a shorty this evening. Here for an hour and 45 minutes, we've got DePaul Buckets. They'll be hosting number 12 Villanova this evening at 8 o'clock. Pre-game starts at 7:45, so I'll be hanging out with you until then. We've got a lot to bounce around with here. We've got news out of Cubs camp. What do you know? Another big news story out of Mesa, Arizona. It happened once again this morning. We'll get you the audio just so you can hear exactly what happened when you were at work earlier today. Kyle Long's out there. He's still talking. He's saying the Bears need a power back. What? They just... Okay. I don't know that I agree with Kyle Long. I want to revisit a conversation I had with Ryan Spader last night right here on 670. The Score. Was a little later in the show, so you may have missed it. He's saying, yeah, it's not just the Astros. It's not just the Red Sox. There are about 9 teams in baseball cheating pretty much just like those Houston Astros. And the Bulls in the national spotlight once again for bad reasons. Again. And maybe a fresh perspective. I want to get to that before I roll on out of here at 7:45. Good evening. My name is Joe Ostrowski. Phone line 312-644-6767. Producing the other side of the glass, we've got Chris Dickens and Mike Rankin. Mike, you let me know if Dickens starts to boss you around. Don't jump on the mic. I know you're going to, Dickens. You're trying to. You're reaching. You got the Rick Camp hand. You're reaching over there. You let me know if he tries to boss you around, because that's what he does to a lot of people here, so I've heard. Let's start with Mesa, Arizona. Maybe you missed this today. And my first reaction is, wait, okay, it's not a big deal, right? It's not Chris Bryant to lead off? Or he's open to lead off? Oh, wait, he is the lead off? Not a huge deal. It's news if he says, no, I'm not willing to hit lead off. This guy that says he wants to be a Cub, he wants to stay here. He never had this $200-plus million offer that has been reported by some of the national guys. That was my first reaction. But then I thought more about it. And I know you may have missed some of this. So let's bring back Chris Bryant. So it started with our own Bruce Levine. Like, Bryant's hanging out at his locker earlier this morning. He sits there. He's talking for 10, 12 minutes. And about 7-8 minutes into the conversation, it was broached by our very own Bruce Levine, just kind of fishing. Hey, Bryant, so you thinking center field and leadoff this season?
Will you be in the same kind of role as you've been in the past, you think?
Yeah. Maybe a little higher in the order.
What does this guy know? Well, it's out there, so guess I should confirm it here. The new skipper hasn't said anything, but yeah, okay. Maybe a little higher in the order. So, of course, all the follow-ups came, and Chris Bryant's like, yeah, I just talked to Grandpa Rossi. I'm going to be hitting leadoff this year. And Bryant continued to talk about the importance of that position and how he wants to be in that spot.
The past 3 years, we haven't really had someone that was stuck in the leadoff hole and stayed there. You know, I think we totally took Dexter for granted while I was here. I certainly did, because, you know, he was up there working great at bats. I mean, he was always on base, high on base percentage, and I think that showed in the numbers of the people that hit after him. But I think when you have so much turnover and, like, just trying certain guys out, it's like you don't get that consistency, you know. And if I need to be the guy that's up there that is going to be consistent and get on base, and, you know, I'll be that guy.
Dexter Fowler's been gone for 3 full seasons now, and they have not stopped talking about we go. They have not stopped talking about Dexter Fowler. Big mistake by the front office. They've come out and they've admitted it. they thought, in all their experience in this game, they thought anybody could hit leadoff. Anybody. And Brian told you, yeah, it's 2016, last time we had a real leadoff guy every single day. It wasn't a concern. They thought they had it figured out. Just take an on-base guy. Okay, maybe this guy will do it, that guy will do it. It just hasn't worked for three full seasons. Since Fowler has gone to St. Louis, 2017, they had 11 guys hit leadoff. Jay, Zobrist, Schwarber, Rizzo, Happ, Hayward, Almora, Baez, Contreras, Caesar. 2018, 10 guys hit leadoff. Almora, Rizzo, Murphy, Zobrist, Happ, Bryant, Baez, LaStella, Schwarber, Contreras. And last year, 11 different guys hit leadoff. Schwarber the most times at 56. Then it goes Hayward, Zobrist, Almora, Rizzo, Descalso 11 times, Kemp 6 times, Garcia, Robel? Who's Garcia? Baez and Happ. 11, 10, and 11. And in 2016, Dexter Fowler was your leadoff man 118 times. And, you know, this started certainly over the weekend. But Chris Bryant has been talking every day at Cubs camp. And every time he hits the microphone, I think a lot of Cubs fans like him just a little bit more. Here's
sometimes I feel like it is taken for granted a little bit, you know. But that's always been who I am. Like you said, lead off in center field. Like, heck yeah, I would love to do that. Like, I'd love to do everything. I've always said that. I love doing anything I can to help the team win. And, like, I think that's, like, sometimes just misinterpreted and, like, or not looked at enough.
Why was this not happening before? That's what I don't understand. Consistently, Chris Bryant has been one of your best on-base guys. The idea for years, this isn't anything new. It's just common sense. What's been going on in the league is, okay, give us the group of our best hitters. We're our best on-base guys. Throw them at the top of the lineup. It's not complicated. So when you take an entire season, and let's say you go from leadoff to the second spot in the order. There have been so many studies on this, they'll tell you the difference in plate appearances. 1 to 2, the difference is almost 14 plate appearances. 1 to 3, now you're talking about 28 plate appearances over an entire season. 1 to 4, now we're at 41. That's a pretty big gap. So why not just take your best guys and throw them at the top of the lineup? And again, I mentioned that my first reaction was, what's the big deal? Okay, KB saying he do anything for the team. I'm a team guy. Whatever helps us win. Okay, that's not really a big story. But actually it is. Because let's think about this timeline. Yesterday, he sits down in a meeting with Theo Epstein. Okay, everything's great. Made me feel a lot better. Blah, blah, blah. We're looking to win for this year. Okay, fine. And this morning, Bruce Levine is just fishing, hanging out by Bryant's locker, talking to him. Center field leadoff this year? Just messing around. Oh, yeah. Maybe he wasn't messing around. I would think that Bruce knew something there. How do you not figure that Maddon refused to do this? The second it was confirmed that Maddon was gone, we've been hearing reports that he wasn't getting along with the front office. And, of course, at the time, when Maddon was still here, oh, we have a great working relationship. It's wonderful, collaborative, the whole deal. That was their thing. The buzzword they threw out there again and again. And then recently, when Joe Brookbat, sort of on the Cubs front office, yeah.
Different. So we talked to Chris about possibly leading off. Was that part of your conversation with him in your meeting this morning?
Yeah, I had a conversation with him the first day he got here. Just something that had been on my brain, and I want to talk to him about it and see if he was on board. And, you know, I'm happy he is, for sure.
Will that mean that all spring training you'll try to – lead him off in games he's in,
Yeah, I mean, I think if that's something I'm thinking about, you'll see him at the top of the order a whole lot in spring training, and my goal is to put the best players and the best at bats for me at the top of the order. Chris Bryant is a really good at bat, gets on base, probably one of our best base runners. His baseball IQ is extremely high. So when you talk about putting the best players at the in baseball at the top of the order, I think that's our best player, and I want to put him at the top.
You know, being a teammate of his and seeing the versatility from day one, and more importantly for you as a manager, was it the way he embraces things and gets enthusiastic about doing this?
Yeah, I mean, I think talking to you guys already about adversity, right? Like, I mean, that leadoff spot has been a real thing around here since Dexter's left, and you know, the way he's handled all the situations he's been in over his career and risen to the occasion a lot of the times, he can handle that. You know, that fifth at bat for guys is a real thing, and when that comes around, you got to have a guy that wants that. And I talked to Chris about that, and he's all in, and he you know, thinks he can be an impact player at the top of that order just like I do, and it slots guys in really well after him.
This isn't necessarily like an experiment. You're sort of committed to it in some respect.
Yeah, I mean, that's my job, is to commit to things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's on board. I'm on board. Something I've been thinking about long and hard, and I'm excited about it. I don't know about you guys, but I'm super excited about it.
What do you think?
I would hate to be on the other side and look at that big boy step in the box to lead things off, and what he can do, his mindset in the box, the way he grinds at bat. I mean, I like professional at bats, and to start it off and set the tone for this group and what we're going to do, KB's a great option.
David Ross this morning confirming that Chris Bryant's going to be the leadoff man. So then you peel back the onion. Does this mean a lot? I think it does, doesn't it? Here's the obvious question for you guys, and I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. They make this announcement today. Chris Bryant is our leadoff man. At first, we weren't completely sure. Is it KB just saying that he's open to it? But then you heard it right there from the brand new manager. Maybe speaking for Theo Epstein, but you heard it right there. Yeah, Chris Bryant's going to be our leadoff guy. Does this mean that Chris Bryant is starting the season on the Cubs? Because why else would he be, right? It's no secret that they've been shopping Bryant. That's the guy they're going to move. They're going to try to extend Javi Baez. Rizzo isn't going anywhere. And we haven't heard any conversations about Contreras. So if they're breaking up the core four, it's been about Bryant. But there's that possibility. They get off to a hot start, have a lead in the division. Then you can't move him. Certainly not a bad thing. Because maybe you go the Mookie Betts route and you trade him with 1 year left if you want to do that. Or who knows, maybe you end up working out a deal after all of this noise. But that's the big story here. Fresh start. Everything's going to be different. We're going to be ready to go. Javi Baez says, yeah, I'm going to be ready. All of last year, I wasn't ready in the early evenings, which I question a lot. I don't even know if that's really the case, or that's just in his head. But look at the third basemen that have moved around and the disadvantage the Cubs have been on. And we're not even talking about Nolan Arenado yet. Just you have Anthony Rendon, Josh Donaldson, he was a 5-WAR player last year. Mike Moustakas, a 3-WAR player. And just some Band-Aids like Struble Cabrera, Todd Frazier. You're going to have to give up a bunch of pitching prospects if you want to land Chris Bryant. And it sounds like the Cubs just have not been able to work out a deal. So does this mean Bryant is on the Cubs' opening day roster? Then if they're hell-bent on trading him, there is that chance. They're going to be stuck with him for the entire season. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. I think it makes perfect sense. People are complaining about Bryant's lack of RBIs as it is. But just look. Okay, go last year. If you want to go old school, you had the second best batting average on the team behind Rizzo. Second best on-base percentage behind Rizzo. Second best OPS at .903. Only behind Rizzo. David Ross told you this morning, Cub fans, that Chris Bryant's the best player on the team. So he's going to be hitting leadoff. Now, you could argue with that. I heard Spiegs say last hour that he thinks Rizzo is the best player on the team, and I think you can make that case. But just stack the top of the lineup with your best guys. And I think you've got to go righty-lefty with these new rules. Go Bryant, one. Rizzo, two. Bias, three. That would seem to make sense to me. What do you think? 312-644-6767. Text 67011. Tweet me at Joe0670. Nick in Rockford, you're on the score.
What's going on, Joe?
What's up, Nick?
Hey, so finally, this is exactly what I wanted to hear. I've been doing backflips all day. We needed this. There's been arguments that saying, you know, the leadoff hitter is not important. We proved it the last 3 years. It's important to Chicago. We got the right guy. And just like, you know, the skip said, get a guy that's 6'5 in there, first time reaching, you know, in the box. Pitchers are gonna have to pitch to him. And then he's got that fifth at bat. I mean, that's the right guy to have that bat in that situation always. And, like, finally it happened.
There you go. So Nick's very happy, and I'm hearing from some people tonight on the text line. I hate it. Hate Bryant and Rizzo 1 and 2, because when the lineup rolls with your two best run producers up there, now you're talking about Elmore and a pitcher. For me, it's simple. At the end of the season, how do I get more plate appearances for Bryant and Rizzo? This is how you do it. Bryant was going on and on about how important it is to get that fifth plate appearance. And you heard David Ross talk a little bit about it too. Getting that fifth plate appearance for your best guys. Hey, I'll risk having nobody on base, if that's the case. I'll risk that if it means another plate appearance, maybe changing the game with Chris Bryant coming up to the dish. George in Old Town, you're on the score.
Hello.
Hey, George, what's going on?
Yeah, well, Chris Bryant is undoubtedly the best player in the Cubs. Now, I'm so glad they're going to play him in center field and that he's leading off. He's far better than Anthony Rizzo.
Well, we don't know about the center field thing.
Throw that all away. He's equal to Javi on the base pads. He can play outfield. He can run like the wind, my friend. Mm-hmm. He is worth keeping, period.
Yes, he's a great base runner, too. And that's something that's underrated. I know some people are thinking, what about the stolen base? Stolen base is out of the game. It doesn't even matter anymore. Don't worry about that. Maybe he gets a few stolen bases, but he is a great base runner. There's no question. And I don't know how you take this news and say, boy, look at David Ross. See, he's making a great move. Really? This is Theo Epstein. Go back to the timeline. Bryant sits down with Theo yesterday. Bryant and Ross admit today, this morning, yeah, I'm going to be hitting leadoff this year. That's happening. And it sounds like they want a consistent guy. So as these things start to trickle out, and we're in February, we haven't even gotten to the real games thing. But you're going to be able to see as a fan, okay, disagreement here between Maddon and the front office. I think this is it. I mean, Joe is fishing for 3 years. Can we strike lightning with it? Can we hit on somebody in the leadoff spot? Okay, now you. John Jay, Schwarber, Zobrist, Elmora with the right splits, Murphy, Happ, anybody. Okay, got to press the Rizzo button again. It seemed like Joe was willing to throw anybody at the top of the lineup not named Chris Bryant. Now Joe Maddon's gone, and in February, before they've played a spring training game, we're hearing, yeah, our leadoff guy is going to be Chris Bryant this year. What do you think? Does this mean he's going to be on the opening day roster? 312-644-6767. You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score. The bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and Northwestern Football returns to Wrigley Field on November 7th as they host Wisconsin. Guarantee a ticket to this matchup with the purchase of season tickets. Buy now at NUSports.com. Good evening. Joe Ostrowski here. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thanks for hanging out. You know, it's going to be fascinating this year as we start to see these rules trickle into Major League Baseball. Some of the new rules, thanks to Rob Manfred. And one of them this year is a relief pitcher must face at least three batters. So from day one, how are managers going to handle this? Cubs manager Theo Epstein, what is he going to do? At least I'll be calling him that. Does it mean that you go righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty throughout the entire lineup? Just because you know at some point you'll have the advantage once they start going to the pen. We know starters are going, what, 4 or 5 innings these days. There's always the exception to the rule. There are some guys that go 7, 8, but for the most part, we're talking about, okay, if you can give us 5 strong, we're pretty good with that. News out of Cubs camp today, Chris Bryant's a leadoff, but does that mean every day? Or is it something we're going to see once in a while? It seems like it's something that the Cubs want to have on a more consistent basis. And they don't see Bryant going through the struggles that Kyle Schwarber went through when he was thrown into the leadoff spot for the first time in his life. So the Cubs have the ability, for the most part. I mean, there are questions. There are going to be some platoon spots, probably center field and second base. But if you want to go righty-lefty, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, 1-2, go Baez or Contreras, but let's say Baez, Schwarber at cleanup, then you can go back to Contreras at fifth. That's pretty strong. I've criticized this Cubs team for lack of activity, but that's pretty good. But it's also top-heavy because you get to the bottom half of the lineup. Again, you can go Contreras. Let's say he's there. Then you can go lefty with Hayward. And then if Nico Horner's playing at second base, go righty. Maybe Ian Happ in the A spot or Almora. Happ, as you know, hits from both sides of the plate. That's going to be something interesting to watch as we start the season. 312-644-6767. If you're sitting there today and you're thinking after an offseason of Chris Bryant trade rumors and all these third basemen going to new cities and the Cubs are left with nobody at the dance and they're going to start the season with Chris Bryant, I don't think that's crazy. Maybe the Cubs are realizing, okay, we're going to have to wait at least until the trade deadline. If we're out of it, then we trade Bryant or do the Mookie Betts thing and wait until another offseason. Peter driving around is on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Doing well.
Yeah, dude, I'm a little bored by the lack of activity, but this kind of gets me going a little bit, this idea of Bryant being in the leadoff spot, because I'll be honest with you, tremendous on-base percentage, tremendous base runner, tremendous power. Not a tremendous run producer. That's where I'll disagree with the first guy. Historically, that's been a flaw in Bryant's game. He hits worse with runners in scoring position than with runners not in scoring position.
Peter, I'm not going to let you continue, but don't you think part of that is because they haven't had a leadoff man since 2016?
Part of why they're putting him first or part of why he's not hitting with runners in scoring position?
Part of the reason that he's not driving in enough runs.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look at the breakdown of what he actually hits with men in scoring position, his batting average is lower than with men not in scoring position. I've checked that a million times. I've had Bernstein hang up on me. He really, I mean, the great players, Arenado's, the Freemans, they hit better with runners in scoring position. He traditionally hasn't. I think this takes the pressure off of him, Joe. He can do what he does best, get on base. Give us a homer, breed George Springer plus, you know, that type of power in the lineup. And let the other guys drive in the runs. Let Rizzo, Contreras and Baez, Schwarber, in my opinion, are better with runners in scoring position than Bryant. Bryant's a better overall hitter, OPS plus, but I think batting him leadoff is ideal for Chris Bryant and the Cubs.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, and I don't know why it took so long. Again, searching and searching, can't find anybody. Okay, let's go with Chris Bryant. I don't know if David Ross believes it, but he's out there telling you that he's the best player on the team. What took so long? is Theo and Jed trying to get Joe to do this over the last couple of years? Were they trying? I think that's a fair question to ask. I mean, how do you not have that reaction? It's the most important spot in the lineup, isn't it? I mean, for me, it is. Maybe some of you will disagree. I'm sure Peter would disagree because maybe, I see, we were taught when we were playing at a younger age, what? Well, your best hitters in the lineup are at 3-4. That's not really the case anymore. Because over an entire season, we all know that the most plate appearances go to 1, 2, and then 3, and it goes down and down as you go through the lineup. Well, why not give your best hitter the most amount of plate appearances? So I love the move, and I don't think it's going to hurt his production that much. And for Bryant to be in on it, it shows you he's a team guy. As I'm sure there are players throughout the league that would think, boy, that's going to hurt my production. In 2 years, I'm going to be a free agent. I've been waiting for this day. We've been having these arguments. They messed with the service time, held them back a little bit to get that extra year of control. Cubs won that, of course, and everyone expected that to be the case. Not Chris Bryant. It's not what he's saying today. Look, I'm all in. I just want to win. This is going to help the team. Let's do it. Not a problem. It's been an issue. They're still talking about Dexter Fowler. Fowler's 5-year contract is up in 2 more years. Who knows? Maybe he's going to end up being a Cub again before that deal's up with St. Louis. 312-644-6767. So I touched on this last night, but I wanted to go back to this because I was just taking a look at some numbers. You know, as I'm looking at Chris Bryant's, okay, this all makes sense. Second highest average on base and OPS on the team. And the highest, what do you know, Anthony Rizzo. And every time he's hitting leadoff, he has a lot of success. But Baez shows up at camp over the weekend, and he's telling everyone there that part of the problem is that he just wasn't ready at the start of games.
I got to the field, and instead of going outside and hit BP, I would do everything inside, which is not the same. You know, when once I go out to the field for the game, I feel like I wasn't ready. You know, I feel like I was getting loose during the first 4 innings, and I should be ready and excited to get out before the first pitch. And I promise you guys that this year is going to be like that.
Okay, so there's going to be a big difference. So he mentioned BP. So I take that as at the plate he wasn't ready. Other side of the glass, Chris Dickens, when you hear him say that, did you think he was talking about defense or just being ready to hit, since he went out of his way to say that he would take BP inside instead of out in the field?
I think he meant offensively.
Okay.
It had to be offensively. That's
right.
What he was talking about. His offensive numbers were fine, but they were down in games. That was another thing he touched on, is how they were down big in games and they couldn't fight back and they got in the holes. And,
but that's because of the pitching.
Yeah, that is because of the pitching, but
that was the bad Lester games, the bad Quintana games. Chatwood, when, no, don't throw him out there, but I guess they will at the start of this year.
From the sound of it, though, it feels like Javi takes that upon himself, though. Like, yeah, bad pitching's going to happen, but we couldn't get out of it because we weren't ready.
Okay. So I'll believe him, but I'm just saying that if you take a look at the numbers, are the numbers lying here? Because I looked at the splits for last year with Javi Baez, and it sounds like he's talking about offensively. And if you go on Baseball Reference, they'll break it down. Here's innings 1 through 3, 4 through 6, 7 through 9. So did he have his worst numbers in innings 1 through 3? The answer is no, he didn't. Overall, he had a down year compared to 2018. And I think all of us with a brain cell thought, well, yeah, he's not going to repeat that near MVP season. I was hoping he was going to get it, but it became clear in the last couple of weeks, okay, Christian Yelich is going to win the MVP. But when you look at the numbers in the first third of the game, his OPS, on base plus slugging, 789. 4 through 6, it goes up a little bit to 820. But the worst third of the game for Javi Baez was the last three innings. An OPS of 768.
You couldn't close out games.
OPS plus. If you want to look at that, because that's a little bit easier to follow. Innings 1 through 3, 101. Just above average. 4 through 6, 106. Even better. 7 through 9, 92. He's a below average hitter innings 7 through 9. So it was quite the opposite than what Javi was telling you. He said it was about the slow starts. No, it was the slow finishes for Javier Baez. So I wonder where he's getting that from, or just a feeling that he had. Or maybe they've convinced themselves that Joe Maddon was the issue. In that same conversation with the media, he said, well, Joe was great here, went out of his way to compliment Joe Maddon. Doesn't that also feel like something he's criticizing Joe Maddon for? Then Kyle Schwarber says, no, I'll speak for myself, and I was ready at the start of games.
I mean, Joe came out and said it today as well. That
right.
He was like, I didn't feel that. I felt...
Joe's right.
Yeah, I didn't see that. He goes, take a poll. Take a poll in that locker room and see what guys actually felt like. That. He complimented Javi as well. He said, one of the best players in the game and is going to grow into probably the best player in the game. But I doubt all that locker room felt like that way.
Can you do me a favor, Chris, and look this up just as a team, not just Baez, but their offensive production innings 1 through 3, 4 through 6, and 7 through 9? I would bet Javi's numbers were a reflection of the rest of the team. That it was really about the issues in the last few innings. Not so much the first three, like he said it was. I mean, maybe he felt that way. He knows his body better than we do. Maybe he felt that way. But I'm just telling you, looking at the numbers over the course of the season, the first third of the game was not the biggest problem. For him, it was the last three innings. So we'll get that for you coming up on the other side. Also, Kyle Long out there talking still. And I do not have an issue. I mean, we're looking for some insight to this team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So Kyle Long was on the NFL Network podcast with Dave Dameshek. And he was going over what the Bears need on offense to be successful. And it felt like some arrows were thrown right at Ryan Pace's head. I'll bring you that next. You've got the Joe Osho, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Joe Ostrowski, nights on 670, The Score.
This segment on The Score brought to you by Illini Care Health. You deserve quality health care. Choose Illini Care Health for health care coverage that includes free gym memberships, after-school care, and school uniforms that either you or your family can take advantage of. Visit IlliniCare.com today. Illini Care Health is a health choice Illinois plan. So we're just talking about Javi Baez and Chris Dickens, other side of the glass. You've got the numbers for the Cubs splits, first third, middle third, last third of each game. Because obviously over the weekend, Javi's saying, hey man, we were not ready to play. We struggled early on. I was feeling like I was warming up till we're talking about the fourth, fifth inning. And the numbers don't really agree with that as far as Baez goes. There are a few different reasons that you also need to take into account. We'll get to that. But Dickens, what did you uncover?
They are pretty much in line with what Javi was.
That's what I was thinking.
They all...
So the best part of the game for the Cubs offense is innings 4 through 6, right?
Correct. You can even lump 3 in. You can lump 3, like the third inning, because the third inning they
second
were pretty
time,
solid.
You see a starting pitcher. Doesn't that make some sense?
Yeah.
Second time, third time, you know, if you're talking about fifth and sixth inning, when you see a starter, that makes sense. And then when they start to go to the bullpen nowadays, I guess.
When specialty pitchers start coming out,
yeah.
that's when they struggle. You look at it, batting average, it was .258 in the first three, .265 in the second three, .229 in the third three.
Oh, my. So, now, I know your best relievers are on the hill then, but seriously, 2019, 2020, the best way to judge an offense is not batting average. We all know that, but .229, that's horrific.
Yeah.
As a team, they hit .229 last three innings of every game.
The last three innings of every game.
Wow. What was their on base?
On base, it was .332 First three, 331. Second three.
Same.
258.
Woo! 258 on base, last three innings. And OPS? Do you have that?
816.
Oh, man. Compared?
822.
Oh, 816 first three?
Yeah.
Okay, 822, same.
822, and then it was just over 716.
Get out of here. Yeah. Wow.
The last three innings, seventh inning, 760, eighth inning, 661, ninth inning, 676.
So Javi couldn't have been more wrong. It was closing games.
Closing games is where they struggled.
It was big spots. Yeah, coming through with a big hit late in games.
Yeah, because it seems
or just in general.
They started off down, you know, like I said, started off down because bad pitching. They fought their way back, but then they lost a lot of one-run games last year, did they not?
Well, especially the first couple months of the year, and they didn't have a closer. Yeah, they lost some games because of that.
Because of that, but still, it's not being able to add runs to that or catch up to that.
I'm not sure. You can look on that in the expanded standings because you're going to lose your share of one-run games.
I felt like it was more so than years prior, though. Okay. I'm saying I felt like more so than years prior. I felt like it was constantly like, man, the Cubs were this close. They were just this close to winning that game, but they couldn't get that offensive production. They couldn't get that offensive production into the game.
Can you find where that ranks in Major League Baseball? Do they have that?
Where their OPS and
I'm just saying innings 7 through 9 that their average. Is that bottom five? Bottom? Can you see if you can find that? I know I'm just throwing this at you.
Yeah,
because I'd be interested in that because a lot of people are checking in on that and they bring up a fair point. Like, okay, the numbers are clearly worst in the latter stages of the game, but where are they in all of baseball? Probably pretty bad. Much like the leadoff hitter last year for the Cubs. Woo! I knew it was going to be bad, but I didn't know it was going to be that bad. So I'm sure that's something that they're addressing. And also think of this new rule. This is probably going to be bigger than a lot of people realize, facing at least three batters. Is this going to help the Cubs offense now? Because now teams can't play the righty-lefty game against you. Maybe. Can't wait to see. 312-644-6767. That's interesting. Chris Dickens, thank you for looking that up, and we'll see if we can find where the Cubs rank in all of Major League Baseball in those last three innings. I was like, Javi. No. It wasn't the start. That was not the problem. Offensively, it was the finish at the end of games when most people are blaming Chris Bryant for not coming through in the clutch, runners in scoring position, late and close. I think that's been their perception there. Like, no. How about the entire team? Not just Chris Bryant. All right, want to get to this. The Bears, they made a small signing. I'll get to that in just a moment. They signed a tight end, has some history with Nagy. That's not the big story as far as the Bears go in my world. NFL Network's Dave Dameshek does a great podcast, and he sat down with former Bear Kyle Long. Take a listen to what Kyle Long had to say about what the Bears need to do on offense in 2020.
We're talking, 2019 Bears that a lot of people had high hopes for. So you don't imagine in this offseason that they try to get Nick Foles doesn't make sense really contractually, but is there somebody who maybe you think they try to create competition at minimum with a legit name? I don't know necessarily in the draft, but what one way or the other do they?
You know, I have no insider perspective there. The only thing I can speak to is my experience in Chicago, and I've seen Mitch win. I've seen Nagy do a great job calling plays. I've seen the running game work, and I've seen the defense be complimentary. Why can't we repeat that? So we need to find out, the Bears need to find out, what it is they need to do, who it is they need to obtain through the draft or free agency to solidify the offensive line, get a power running back to complement Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery, and be able to play real hard-nosed football and give Mitch opportunities to throw the ball downfield off of play action.
Did you say to Nagy or anyone else, like, what are we doing? We should be running the ball more.
I mean, I probably said run the damn ball more than anybody in the building, but you can't do it when you don't have the guys to block, and myself, when I'm healthy, I can block. But when I'm not healthy, I'm a liability. And that's what I was last year.
That's Kyle Long, Dave Dameshek's podcast of the NFL Network. Okay, so they still have the talent, still have the defense, got to fix the offense. Kyle Long says the solution there, you solidify the offensive line, criticize himself, said, I stunk. He said that multiple times. He said it on these airwaves with Danny Parkins. Said it all over the place in the city. Need a power running back. That stood out. We need a power running back. The year after they trade away Jordan Howard, they had him for one more year. This was the all-in season. They were a kicker away, but they make sure to trade away Jordan Howard. They move up in the draft, and they get their guy, David Montgomery. So after David Montgomery's rookie year, veteran offensive lineman Kyle Long is going out in the media and saying the Bears need a power running back, knowing what they just did for a late round draft pick. They trade away Jordan Howard. So if you're one of those callers, texters, tweeters, just a Bear fan out there screaming this year, we miss Jordan Howard, Kyle Long is telling you, I agree with you. You were 100% correct. And yeah, I was saying run the damn ball more than anybody else over at Hallis Hall. Fascinating. I put more in Kyle Long's opinion than mine. I will listen to everything he has to say. He always has the back of his quarterbacks, whether you're talking about Jay Cutler or even Mitch Trubisky now. He says he's seen him win and he can do it again. He won't back off that. He just needs certain things around him. But we need a power running back. The head coach and the general manager got together and they said, let's trade away our power running back. I think they don't need a power running back. You have Montgomery. You have Cohen. Don't forget that they were starting some games early on in the year with Mike Davis, which is absolutely ridiculous to me. And maybe when you look at it as a whole, without an offensive line and with a head coach slash play caller that didn't want to commit to the run game, how did Montgomery's rookie season go? Wait, let's see, 1,074 scrimmage yards without an offensive line and with a head coach that had no interest in committing to the run. Yards per attempt, 3.67. Chris Dickens, what would you say about David Montgomery's rookie campaign?
What would I say about David Montgomery's rookie campaign? I would say that...
Good or bad? Let's start there.
Mediocre. I can't say bad. I can't say good. It was mediocre. They drafted a guy who was supposed to be missing tackles and breaking tackles and be this elusive back, but...
All-purpose back. That was the goal, right?
Yes.
They fell in love with him.
This guy had one of the worst yards after contact in the NFL. So well, after he got hit,
Where's the speed? San Francisco praised all year for their run game, and they have a legit offensive line, but you know what? The running backs they also have? A lot of speed. A lot of speed in that backfield, and the Bears don't have that. I would disagree with Kyle Long on this. I don't think they need a power running back, and I think a lot of people are going to go down that road because of what they saw an elite dude in Derrick Henry do this year for the Titans and carry them into the playoffs and making a deep run. They need more speed in that backfield.
I think you and I talked about it after the Super Bowl that
yes,
that speed is what is not even just in the backfield.
Kansas
speed
City too.
In general, speed in general is what you see teams winning with now. It doesn't matter where it's at. You just need speed on that offense.
3.67 yards per attempt. Where does that rank in the NFL? Throw a number at me. What does that rank? 3.67 to all running backs. All. That's what Montgomery had.
It's got to be bottom third. Bottom,
give me a number. Like 20th, 30th, 40th.
22nd.
Lower.
25th.
Lower.
29th.
Lower.
30th.
Keep going.
32.
Go.
40.
Go. Way.
50.
Lower.
Not even in the hundreds?
85th.
Oh, Jesus.
3.67 rushing yards per attempt was 85th in the National Football League. I know no offensive line, no commitment to the game, to the run game at least. but I don't think they're a power running back away.
But like I said, also, they drafted this guy because he was known for breaking tackles. That was his thing.
Yes.
He broke tackles, and his yards after contact was even worse than that.
That was a bad idea, don't you think?
A terrible idea. He was bottom three in the NFL for that.
The league is going speed, and the Bears are saying, yeah, let's get rid of our power running back, and we're just going to get a guy that breaks tackles. With all the speed on defense in this league now, I don't think that's the right approach. All right, coming up next, you may have missed a fantastic guest I had on last night. Just a quick minute. He's a baseball insider, got a lot of sources throughout the league. And he's saying, yeah, it's not the Astros, it's not the Red Sox, not the Yankees. There's a large group of teams that have been cheating. And the thing is, the Astros are wearing the black hat. And also, if you've been following the sports betting thing, the governor of this state, we don't want to talk about past governors. Every time you turn on the TV or radio, you're hearing about that. Let's talk about the current governor. He doubled down today and told you it is really close. Legalized sports betting in this state. That's next. Joe Ostrowski with you. You've got the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.